Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Show number 91. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
And we're hanging out here in my haunt up in Edgewater.
North Side.
And the North Side at the new Jackhammer, which is just such a sexy bar. I love it. The exposed brick. The lighting, the ductwork.
Two beautiful new pool tables.
Oh, the whole place. It's so cool. It's just, if you haven't been to Jackhammer and you think it's like, I don't know, not your bar, like women, men, comfortable, really cool,
totally.
Really groovy. And we're here for the Windy City Gay Idol Night. And
with a fabulous, and you know, seriously, folks, if you haven't been here in a long time, come back and see, because it's totally different. It is not your mama's jackhammer.
It's not your mama's jackhammer.
It's not what you remember at all. They've really changed it. They've done such a dream, and everybody has done such a great job.
Yeah, looks good.
Jazzing up. Did you see the boys' bathroom at all?
I did see the boys' bathroom.
So those black urinals, it makes me think of like that George Michael movie, video.
Where
he got caught peeing, where they all turn around and disco balls come down from the ceiling.
Yep.
I was hoping that was going to happen.
It's very sexy in here. I like it. I like it a lot. And yet it's still got kind of the game factor. It's still got the sporty feel in one area, but then it's got the club, dance, stage kind of feel. And then we've got the whole
downstairs, which is a dirty little loveliness. And you should actually see this, though, when it's Bear Weekend, because you know they have the Bear Weekend.
Yes, it's coming up.
And it's just, it's so delightful in here, because it's like wall-to-wall, big hair boys.
Well, and also for Leather Week, Bear and Leather is all kind of come up here and hang out at the Jackhammer. Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's so comfortable to come here for a cocktail for somebody like me in the neighborhood or whatever.
Absolutely.
Staff is friendly. Music's great. And enjoyable and listenable.
And the Touche is just next door in case you are.
That's right. In case you want to touch it.
Right. We're very lucky, though. The lights are tuned to red this evening because they actually change color. They just have them only set to red right now.
So. Well, red makes us look tan, which we like.
It does.
Because it's getting chilly again, guys. it's spring was
from
upon us and now it's gone. You know, I was just in Tennessee. I was just in my hometown in East Tennessee, in Cleveland, Tennessee, and it was so gorgeous. It was like 86 degrees outside, and I got a little sunburned on like my arm. I was sitting out with my grandmother, who's 98, and she was just great. She's a kick in the pants, and she got this new walker that's like made of red aluminum. It's crazy fancy.
Red?
It's so cool.
Grandma.
It's like red metallic. And she whips that thing around at 98 like you have never seen. It's hilarious.
Does it have a little messenger baggie on it?
It actually has a seat.
So when she
pulls it, she walks it up to like her dishwasher, and then she takes all her dishes out and puts them on the little seat, and then she rolls them over and puts them out into her cabinet because her cabinet's farther away from her dishwasher.
Smart woman.
Oh no, she's bright as a tack. I can't remember what I fucking did 4 days ago. My grandma remembers what I did 14 years ago and 3 days ago. You know, it's like, it's insane. But anyhow, so I had a great time in Tennessee, but I feel like just going back there, everything was covered in yellow, the pollen, everything's blooming. It was perfect time to be there. Yeah.
This early, wow.
It's very early this year because it's so damn dry in the South. And so any of our Southern listeners, you know what I'm talking about. There have been pockets of the South that have had no rain. Whereas Chicago, we've had a lot of water. We've had a lot of rain. We had not as much snow this year.
Right.
So it's just, you know, it's really interesting. But I'm back here now, and now it's getting cool again. And I have little tulips in my yard that don't know what the fuck to do.
No.
They're like, they're transitioning. They don't know. They don't know.
You gotta go to Sears and buy the baby socks and put them on the
baby condoms, the tulip condoms. It's crazy. I don't even know what to do, but there they go. There they go.
So I gotta ask, have you, now I've been like, you know, I get to be a news whore on some stories because I'm all up the HuffPo's ass and I read all these blogs. Have you been following all the Katie Couric stuff, the fallout from her interview?
No, what was her interview?
So she interviewed Edwards and his wife.
Oh, right.
And she asked what I thought were just beautiful questions, like, are you going for the sympathy vote? What's really going on here? Aren't you concerned? Shouldn't you be concerned with your wife's health? Because, you know, her cancer is in remission. She has cancer again.
Katie Couric's husband, the cancer.
So this, in many ways, this sort of hit very close to home for her to be discussing these things. And she brought that up. She brought, you know, the fact that it's really hard to deal with your life and to deal with everything else. And, you know, at the end of it, though, seeing the interview didn't leave a bad taste in my mouth. I thought she was very candid and very open and very frank. Well, so many people in the blogosphere trashed her for it. How can you ask these questions? How can you be prodding him about this? Why wouldn't you be asking about that? I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't you ask him about it? Why wouldn't you ask him about anything else? People really seem to feel, especially almost, I think, four people on HuffPo, on the Huffington Post, they seem to feel that she was really out of place asking him these questions.
Well, I haven't read it, and I haven't seen the interview, so I can't really speak to it. But I think, you know, they kind of made their statement, and I think, I mean, not that I don't think you can ask the hard questions, but I think now the hard questions I think he wants to answer is, what's he going to do about healthcare? What's he going to do if he became president? And, you know, I mean, I don't know what was the point of her interview, is if she was given the exclusive interview after they made their public statement. Yeah. But I feel like they pretty much summed it up in their public statement, that they were moving ahead. The best thing for them to do is to be busy and be focused on what they thought was important in their lives, and to live their lives to the fullest, and that's what they were going to do. And when she couldn't come on the campaign trail, she wouldn't. But
so that's your homework. That's your homework to look that up, and we'll talk more about it.
I'll look
because
it up.
I think the beautiful thing was, he, Edwards, responded to her very kindly and said, you did everything that we expected you to do, and thank you. It was a wonderful interview. So he was very positive about it. She then, in turn, on her blog, went back and sort of butted heads against a lot of people who gave her some flack for it. She was like, this is what happened. This is what they said. This is why
Katie
would I ask?
Curric?
Yes, Katie Couric on her blog, because she's got a blog, too. Almost better than Meredith Vieira's. Hers is called Couric and Company. So she's actually got, it's sort of Huffington Post. She's got other people posting to it. But her post about the whole thing was really interesting. I just think it's so amazing that if we would have rewound 5 years, her interview would have happened, and maybe some other news stations would have talked about it, and that would have been it.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been this knee-jerk from the blogosphere coming back, talking to her about it, and then sort of reversing, changing everything completely. And then, you know, I mean, Edwards responding to people in the blogosphere.
Right.
Her responding to people in the blogosphere.
Well, it's crazy because I don't even deal with the blogosphere. The fact that I'm saying that word is freaking weird to me. But anyhow, I got an email from a very good friend of mine, Nikki Weiss and Carol Ann Turi.
No.
Kathleen's in the other room. She has glasses, short hair.
Okay.
That's an idol contestant,
right.
I feel.
Right. He had arabesques and G-clefs on his shirt.
Yes, he did. But there is my friends Nikki Weiss and Carol Ann Turi, who are named, you know, lesbians of the year in Hollywood.
NikkiandCarol.blogspot.com.
There you go, NikkiandCarol.blogspot.com. They announced today on their blogspot that the television show on Oprah that I was on and Nikki and Carol were featured on, which was the Gay Wives Tell Their Stories, and it won the GLAAD Media Award for Best Talk Show episode last night. And so it's just interesting as we talk about GLAAD, you know, they're again honoring this show, you know, and Nikki and Carol were featured on the show. I was featured on the after the show on Oxygen.
GLAAD honoring Oprah?
Well, it was the categories, you know, were Tyra Banks and Maury Povich, and I mean, it was, you know, different talk show stories that would have been about GLBT issues. And so GayWise got it. And it was just interesting. And so congratulations to the girls.
Yeah.
And I feel a little responsible because I'm the one that submitted them to Harpo Studios, to Oprah.
Glad are you listening?
Glad
can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? It all happened from a gay person on a gay show. So maybe they shouldn't have been nominated. I don't know.
Well, you know.
I didn't produce the show. But
Censored.
But anyhow, so that was the blog spot. And so anyhow, and that's what I know about blogging is that I read a blog spot today from somebody's blog. So I know I've said blogosphere, and wow, I think I just need to wrap this up now because we've got to start
pulling
the competition.
You into the new
the
millennium.
Nether regions.
Singing blogosphere crazy. And all that great stuff.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. But hey, folks, tonight, speaking of Tennessee, another fellow, well, he's not a Tennessean, but he definitely was residing in Tennessee and was a Kentucky boy, and now is the national news director for the United Church of Christ, openly gay minister, Reverend Ben Guest. He's going to be on our show today. We're going to talk about the United Church of Christ.
Absolutely.
Seems like every year around Easter time, they've always done these television campaigns.
Right.
We've had them on Windy City Radio. But there's more to talk about now as we talk about Edwards. Barack Obama, and you know, he was really seen by the gay community as, wow, he's a member of UCC Church, he's very pro-gay, and he's kind of stepped into some semantics and political quagmire and all of that with the gay community, and we're going to talk to Ben about that and what that the stance of the UCC is on homosexuality and how that is
Obama.
Insane or not insane with Barack Obama, our hometown boy.
Uh-huh.
So that and news and Jerry Potter and
so much more.
So we're going to go off and hear some Idol singers, and hey, don't forget, you're going to be hosting next week.
I am next week at Scott's. Is that Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday at Scott's. Scott's is a fantastic little neighborhood bar. It's such a cool little room.
In Ravenswood.
In Ravenswood area. Karaoke there is so much fun. If you need details on how to get there or the time and everything, WindyCityMediaGroup.com. Look for the Gay Idol logo. Click on it. You can see our full schedule because we have so many more to go before the finals happening in June in Pride Month.
And that is always a fun bar because I always know Tom Scott's going to be dressed up in some sort of craziness. It's going to be fun.
It's so crazy. It's
small.
It's neighborhoody. It's tight. It's beautiful.
Lesbians and gays.
And I'm going to be on the microphone all night. So.
You're going to be so sexy, Peter.
I'm so nervous. I have big shoes to fill, Miss Matheny.
No, you do not. You got some heels tonight.
They're size nines. That's
those
a big
aren't
shoe to
minor
fill.
Size nines. They are big lesbian feet. And that's all you really needed to know about me today. My size 9 feet are going to go host this thing at Jackhammer, the sexy new Jackhammer, and we'll be back after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry, GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
the very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
Taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's time to dust off that tux and ball gown and throw on your dancing shoes, because the annual HRC Chicago Gala is right around the corner. Join us June 16th at the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue for HRC's Tickled Pink Gala, celebrating Chicago's GLBT community with dinner, dancing, a silent auction, and many more surprises. This year's keynote speaker is Academy Award-winning actress and newest star of The L Word, Marley Matlin. For more, visit Tickled Pink. Pink2007.com, and tickets are on sale now at boxofficetickets.com. Just search for HRC Chicago to get your tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 26th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Internationally acclaimed Hubbard Street Dance Chicago hosts Celebrity Cast Party for the gay community April 22nd. That's a Sunday. The afternoon includes the closing matinee of Hubbard Street Dance Chicago's 2007 Spring Series at the Harris Theater, followed by cocktails, refreshments, and a chance to party with the Hubbard Street Dancers at the Fairmont Chicago. Tickets for the Celebrity Cast Party are available at hubbardstreetdance.com or call 866-535 HSDC.
Travel to the interior of Liberia with Looking Glass Theater Company's explosive world premiere, Black Diamond, The Years the Locusts Have Eaten, starting April 4th at Looking Glass Theater, located in the Water Tower Waterworks. For tickets to Black Diamond, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater concludes its 10th year of Think Theater with Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw. Censored for 8 years for airing Polite Society's Dirty Laundry, this controversial comedy full of wit and colorful characters remains as relevant today as when it was written. Mrs. Warren's Profession, playing now through April 22nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. For tickets, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago. And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Gerald Sears, Akino George, Gregory Archie, and Gerard Johnson have all pled guilty to attacking gay recording artist Kevin Aviance last June. During the attack, Aviance suffered several injuries, including a broken jaw, while they yelled anti-gay slurs at him. The attackers, who range from age 17 to 21, will be sentenced separately over April and May.
At an appearance on a college campus, Mel Gibson cursed at a Mayan culture expert who accused him of racial stereotyping in his movie Apocalypto. At Cal State University, Alicia Estrada, an assistant professor of Central American Studies, said that portraying the Mayans as bloodthirsty was racist, to which Gibson allegedly said, "Lady, fuck off." Gibson's publicist said that the actor-director needs more anger management training. It's time to be cool.
In a recent eBay auction, a German businessman paid $512,000 for two of Anna Nicole Smith's handwritten diaries. The diaries were written during 1992 to 1994.
Over a dozen faith-based investors in Abbott Laboratories have requested that the pharmaceutical giant reverse course after the company decided to take away new drug applications from Thailand. Abbott withdrew several medications, including the HIV/AIDS drug Keytruda, after Thailand's government, quote, issued a compulsory license for non-commercial use within its public health system.
In Colorado, Denver Archbishop Charles Chaput has come to the defense of Joint Chiefs of Staff Peter Pace, who recently called homosexuality, quote, immoral, and compared it to adultery. In the Denver Catholic Register, Chappett wrote, quote, note that Pace did not say homosexual persons are evil. He said that homosexual acts are wrong, and of course he's right, end quote. The Archbishop also stated that most U.S. citizens agree with Pace's view of homosexuality.
In Waco, Texas, six people, five riders and a Baylor University student, were jailed during Equality Ride 2, in which 50 young GLBTA people are traveling the country to talk with people at Christian colleges and universities. They were charged with criminal trespassing, and bail was set at $2,000 for each person.
Terry McMillan, the author of House Delegata Grooveback, has filed a $40 million lawsuit against ex-husband Jonathan Plummer, stating that he attempted to damage her reputation during their divorce 2 years ago. McMillan contends that Plummer only married her to become a U.S. citizen and alleges that he and his attorney engaged in a, quote, malicious, reckless, and intentional plan to leak false information to the media, end quote.
The Tennessee legislature has rejected the opportunity to honor native son Justin Timberlake. State Senator Raymond Finney, Republican of Maryville, removed a resolution honoring Timberlake after State Senator Ophelia Ford, Democrat from Memphis, introduced it. Some Republican lawmakers expressed their displeasure with such song titles as Sexy Back.
Mm-hmm. Entertainer Harvey Fierstein is the writer and star of A Catered Affair, a musical about a Bronx's family wedding plans. Fierstein was last seen on Broadway in Hairspray. The show will have its world premiere at San Diego's Old Globe this September and October and open on Broadway in the spring of 2008.
Carmen Electra is denying rumors that she and rocker Joan Jett are an item. A rep for Electra has told entertainment publications that the actress and Jett are just friends. Electra is slated to perform, though, at the Dinosaur Weekend, taking place March 28th through April 1st in Palm Springs, California.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know that I've been down this road before.
Well, he's been on our show before. Well, actually, he was on our FM show, Windy City Radio, mm-hmm. when we talked a couple of years ago about their very first United Church of Christ television ads that caused quite a lot of eyes to turn. You know, in the way that they were portraying that they were inviting or were welcoming to the GLBT community to come and visit the United Church of Christ. And that was the time that we met Reverend Ben Guest. And mm-hmm. Reverend Ben Guest, the National News Director for the United Church of Christ, is now with us on the Windy City Queercast. This time as a WCQ listener, he listens to our show. And we just felt like there were a lot of things that we wanted to talk about, not only heading into this seems only, you know, proper that we would be talking to you around Easter time, but or heading into Palm Sunday and Easter. But just to talk about also some political issues and politics in the church, because as we say, the gays right now are in all of the news.
It's the hot button issue.
Ben Guest, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on the show. You know, I think it's really funny that I run all the time, and I listen to you guys, so you're like friends of mine. You know, you didn't know that you've been running on the treadmill with me for like the past year.
Well, I just love it that we are actually getting people fit, because you're like, a lot of people tell us they listen to us on workouts, and so I love that. It makes me feel like people are getting good news, good entertainment, and they're also getting healthier,
they're getting
thinner,
their workout
getting
on.
Their heart
like
working.
That.
We like that.
That's right. And I also love, we have a Tennessee connection. I don't know if you know that. I lived in Nashville. I went to Vanderbilt.
So oh, you did.
We did.
I almost went to Vanderbilt. All the girls got too dressed up to go to 8 a.m. classes for me. I mean, I'm pretty girly, but I just couldn't imagine not being able to roll out of bed and go in my sweats. And that just did not seem like the
Well, I'm pretty girly, too, and I went into 8 o'clock classes.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, we should talk, because we probably know some of the same people.
All these Tennesseans on the show, I tell you, Amy.
Well, let's talk about your story, Ben, because you're obviously the National News Director for the United Church of Christ, but you're also an openly gay minister, and you're from originally a small town in Kentucky. Talk to me a little bit about how religion and the church and your sexuality all played a part in your life and leading you up to becoming, an openly gay minister.
Well, I grew up in the church. I didn't grow up in the UCC, but I grew up in another Protestant church. And my family was pretty politically active, a social justice-oriented family. So I always thought that I wanted to go to law school and sort of pursue justice from that way. But somewhere along the time that I was at the University of Kentucky, somehow I just got enticed by the idea of liberal religion and went to seminary at Vanderbilt. And it was during that time that I came out and really found my empowerment to be the United Church of Christ, which is a church that since the early 70s has been ordaining people and has really been at the forefront of pushing social justice issues and using the language of faith, using the gospel, using these ancient religious traditions throughout our history, throughout American history, really. And I found a lot of encouragement in that. And so instead of going to law school, I did the religious route and ended up back in my hometown of Henderson, Kentucky, where I was a pastor of a UCC church as an openly gay pastor, which that is quite a challenge to go back to your hometown.
But wow.
It was an exciting ministry. Basically took a dead church in that community and it became really alive around issues of inclusion and drew people from a wide radius. And it taught me the lesson that, you know, as one person told me in that town, they said, well, there aren't 200 liberal people in this town. And I said, well, great. We'll take those 200.
Yeah.
You know, that's who we want. And
I remember a story. I have to interrupt you and ask you a question about Henderson. It's Henderson or Hendersonville?
Henderson.
Henderson. Is that the town where there was a woman? God, are you the story? I interviewed somebody. I'm having like such a deja vu, but I interviewed somebody back in the late 90s who came out to their parents in Kentucky, and I could have sworn it was Henderson. And his mom turned on all the lights in the house. That's not you,
that's
is it?
That's me.
Oh, my God.
It's not a woman.
It's your mom.
Unless you were talking
was your,
to my
I,
mother. Yeah.
I talked to your mother.
See, we have this past.
Oh, my God. Ben, you and I are like, this is kismet. No, honestly, I have to say in my entire career interviewing, your mother was the most amazing interview I've ever done to date of my life.
Well, she is an incredible woman. And for your listeners, they can read it in the book Family Outing. Our story is in Chasty Bono's book.
Oh, wow.
So it's
I interviewed Chastity, but I was on the radio long before she wrote her book. But yeah, your mother has a beautiful story about when you came out to her. How was that for you just reconciling, you know, your being in such a religious community? And even though you wanted to go somewhere where there was more liberal and it's still, you know, it's still the South.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a struggle. It was a challenge. In fact, I think when I moved to Cleveland, I've been here about 7 years. I spent my first year sort of, you know, pretty weepy. I think I was sort of coming out of this experience of being a pastor for 12 years in a pretty rural area of Kentucky, not realizing how I'd pent up a lot of frustration, trying to, you know, be strong and courageous and look like stuff wasn't getting to me. But,
yeah.
But it's also encouraging to me because we found a wealth of support there. Mm. And my family is, my parents are still very active in that church. It's my hometown, as I said. And I find now being on the national staff of the UCC, that story being played out again and again in small towns across the country where our churches really are sort of an alternative voice in many places. And interestingly, in the South, that is a place where the UCC is really growing because there are not progressive Protestant churches around. And so the UCC is sort of filling that niche that needs to be there.
Now, around, I don't know what the year was. What was the year that the UCC decided to put together the ejector seat? That was the first one, right? Advertising campaign. And what was the point of the campaign?
Yeah, that started at the end of 2004. And we had planned to do a couple $1 million ad buy, but when CBS and NBC rejected that ad, they actually did us a huge favor because they bought us more publicity than we could have ever afforded to pay for.
Tell our listeners what the ad was, you know, what it was like, and what was the intention of the ad and what happened.
The ad really drew on focus group testing that we had done that said that people feel excluded for a number of reasons from organized religion. It's not whether the church actually does exclude, but it is the commercial was based around the perception that the people themselves say they feel excluded. So the ad featured bouncers, like nightclub bouncers, standing outside of a bar, deciding who can and who cannot come into the church. And so a person in a wheelchair, a same-sex male couple is excluded. Some pretty white people, heterosexual people, are let into the church. And then it says, Jesus didn't turn people away, neither do we. No matter who you are, where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here, the United Church of Christ. We thought it was an edgy ad, but it also really conveyed the message that we know you may feel excluded from organized religion, but we try to be a church that has an extravagant welcome.
And it also was not just the GLBT community, but as you said, yeah, disabled, the elderly, African-American. I believe
there was a single woman with a child.
Or a single woman with a child, yeah, or something like that.
A Latina woman or something.
Yeah. And but it really was around the gay inclusion piece why the ad was rejected.
Because, right.
They said that it was an advocacy ad. CBS said that it was because the issue of same-sex marriage was then very much before the public eye that they considered it to be an LGBT advocacy ad. And then interestingly, when we pushed them on that, well, what would we do that would not make it an advocacy ad?
Right.
An executive from CBS said, well, until it's commonplace that churches just naturally have LGBT people in their churches and same-sex couples, until that becomes natural, then it would, you know, not be an advocacy ad.
Wow, so, he wasn't a news director, was he?
Wow. Right.
So then the next year, you all came up with another ad campaign.
Yeah, we took the same basic commercial and made it funny. And this was the ejector pew ad, and it was the same concept, but certain people within the church were ejected from their seat, like a woman with a crying baby.
Yeah, that was it.
Person
that was
who
it.
Appeared to be Arab. Also, again, another same-sex couple, and there was someone in the wings who was pushing a button, and they were literally going flying into the air. It's the same basic message, but conveyed the message again. And no matter who you are, where you're on life's journey, you're welcome in the UCC.
And obviously this one gained attention again, but the big attention was because Logo would not air this ad. And then, you know, other networks then picked it up because Logo wouldn't do it. How was that to have like the first openly gay 24/7 television station say they wouldn't air your ad?
Well,
it
really showed the issue of media consolidation as being an important justice issue, and the reason why your podcast is so important, because more and more stations are owned by fewer and fewer companies, and Logo was owned by Viacom, which was tied in with CBS, who had rejected our ad the first time around, and they were, you know, somewhat upset with us that we had challenged them publicly around that, and so now they extended it, so where all of their own stations, so like MTV wasn't running the ad either.
Right.
And so, you know, it raises the issue, is Logo really an LGBT station if it's controlled by interests that are, you know, beyond the LGBT community, where a positive portrayal of who we are could not be aired.
Who's
Well, it's just weird. Like, why would they be able to air a gay cruise ad or a gay travel agency or a gay car ad, but not a gay church ad? I mean, is it once again, Ben, come down just to religion and morality, and people who have the power have opinions on that?
Well, I think we were challenged some really basic assumptions that religious people do not accept LGBT people, and that you cannot be a religious entity and embrace and show images of and positive portrayals of LGBT people wanting to be in church, of sitting together, embracing one another in church. That's what these ads showed. You know, we won, you know, a lot of positive awards for our advertising because it showed LGBT people in really positive portrayals. And And it's the first time that's really been done
by
a mainstream religious body in such a large ad buy that we were doing.
And it did air. It did air though a lot on Bravo and a lot of other channels that
networks.
Heavily watched
it
by the gays.
On about 25 different networks, and in fact, is still airing. We're now doing a matching grant program with churches across the country. So, like, right now it's airing in about 25 different markets where our churches are putting up half the cost and we're matching that. So, and local stations were more willing than the networks themselves were.
Absolutely.
So backwards. So oddly backwards, especially where money's involved. Ben, I have a question from you. Now, you came from a small town where you were ministering to the public there, and then you moved to Cleveland, Ohio, which is fairly large compared to where you were. What differences did you see in the UCC community between those two places? Because I know a lot of people talk about the intolerance within more rural communities versus urban ones, but I know within the urban sphere there's masses and masses of intolerance as well. So did you experience any of that, or what did you see with your eyes?
You know, I appreciate that question, Peter, because I'm, you know, from Kentucky and, you know, sort of value my Kentucky heritage and get a little defensive when people, you know.
I'm with you, buddy. I get you.
When they act like homophobia only exists, or racism or classism, that those are all, you know, southern small town problems. And if we could just blow all those small towns off the face of the map, we wouldn't have any problems.
We've been all these urban paradises, but that's not true.
Right.
Not in my
not
experience.
At all. The urban jungle.
And that's not my experience. And in fact, I'm a part of a UCC congregation here that is very similar in many ways to the church that I was a part of in Henderson. Mm. And a lot of the same challenges that we face in Cleveland, we face, you know, back in Kentucky. Someone, a gay colleague of mine, came in this morning. He said he had been in a bar on Friday night, a gay bar, and one of his friends introduced him to someone, and he said he's a UCC minister, and this gay guy just unloaded on him. You know, how dare you? You're a hypocrite, and you Christians, and, you know, had no sense of the UCC, even though we're headquartered here, you know, what we're about.
I've often said, Ben, that like I get more flack from the gay community for saying I'm Christian than I do from the Christian community for being gay. And, you know, it's an interesting conundrum. You know, I even had listeners say after we had a pagan on the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, say, like, I was so glad to see Amy so welcoming. Yeah. And I was like, what is the deal? I mean, it was a nice comment, actually, because they were saying that it was great that I was having different people of different faiths on the show. But, you know, I definitely think that that's tough, you know, within our own community.
I go to Provincetown several times a year, and it's like one of the last thing I want to do is tell somebody in P-Town, you know, I'm a minister.
Right.
I don't want to have to deal with, you know, either dealing with their past oppression that has been brought on by the church, or, you know, the pain that they've experienced. But I also have to recognize that is real.
Yeah.
You know, the feelings that people have experienced by what the church in general has done to LGBT people is real and is lasting. And so,
but those are unfortunately the voices we hear the most, you know, that we don't hear people who have found a way like you to reconcile and stay and say that's a choice, you know, or to be in a more progressive congregation. You know, it's always kind of seen that we have the, you know, I view it as the angry gay or lesbian person who's rejected the church. That's a very common stereotype or role that we see. Mm-hmm. We very rarely see, you know, a pro-gay, pro-religion type person portrayed anywhere.
Yeah, and also using Cleveland as an example, or Chicago as an example, there are many gay-affirming places of faith in our cities, but still the vast majority of those places are not gay affirming. There are still many, many churches that that just haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
But luckily for the UCC, I feel like, you know, we're on the right side of history.
It's good because, you know, it's not just gay. It's also just liberal. You know, you can't even find liberal Christians. I mean, you know, Christian now has become a bad word. I mean, it has become a bad word. And it's great that the UCC is out there showing that, you know, there is a progressive politics, progressive liberal stance and viewpoint, whether that's gay or whether that's just straight and liberal and political. in its
fellowship.
Yeah,
we're not perfect, but we are trying.
No, it's really awesome.
Also, another interesting fact that I was reading about you, also, when UCC became one of the largest Christian denominations to support the same-gender marriage, you guys lost a lot of affiliated churches in that sort of bold decision for the time. I mean, it's something many of us would say, oh, that's smart, that works, that makes sense. You should hopefully be reaffirming and adding more people. What were the circumstances of that loss?
The Episcopal Church is having it right now.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah, the UCC is going through a lot of the same things that the Episcopal Church is doing, a little bit under the media scrutiny that the Episcopal Church is getting. But in July of 2005, the General Synod of the UCC, which meets every 2 years, we were meeting in Atlanta, and we became the first and largest mainline Christian denomination to affirm same-gender marriage equality, which was a very historic moment for me as a gay person, as a news person who was covering that General Synod for our denominational newspaper. It was just an incredible moment. But it was a moment that reverberated across our denomination. And since that happened about 20 months ago, we've lost about 165 churches have voted to leave the denomination because of that. And that's created, a bit of pain. Anytime a church votes to leave us, it diminishes us, not just numerically, but, our history and our heritage and our connection and mission with those churches. But there's another side to that as well. I mean, a lot of those churches had sort of left us a long time ago. And some of the analysis we've done proves that to be true, that they had really disconnected many years ago, and this was just the excuse that they used to leave. And another part of that is that we've had about 65 churches since that action that have expressed interest in joining, and about 35 of those churches have affiliated in the last couple of years, among them being Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, which is the largest church with the predominant ministry to LGBT people, 4,300 members, that affiliated because of that. And
wow.
We've taken in churches in Memphis. We've taken in churches in Nashville and South Carolina and in Alabama, churches that were sort of grown as community-based progressive churches that are now wanting to affiliate with us because of who we are.
Well, and you have a very high-profile member of the United Church of Christ, and Peter was actually asking about this, and I said, well, let's just talk to Ben about it. Let's go straight to the source. But, of course, our hometown, Senator Barack Obama,
home state.
He's from Chicago, too, though, but he is obviously a presidential hopeful and a member of the UCC and has come under some fire.
He's been stumbles and mumbles these last couple days when asked sort of pointedly about General Peter Pace's remarks about the morality of homosexuality. He sort of stumbled and he sort of kind of ruffled around the issue. He finally got to it, I think, after his people came up with the statement.
Yeah, he readdressed. He was caught a little off guard, I think.
But can you speak a little bit about his involvement or some of your thoughts on what he's doing in his interactions with the community at the moment?
Well, for me, looking at this as a news person, as a UCC person, and as a person that's sort of a political junkie, I think what was sad about it is how scripted this whole game of politics can be. That, I really think that Barack Obama didn't feel safe enough or comfortable enough really speaking from his heart, which is what he's been sort of known for, is sort of not being the person who is always talking off his talking points, but instead, really just sort of speaking from his heart, and his folks have sort of hemmed him in somewhat, so he's not, didn't feel safe enough, and hopefully they've sort of gotten him back on his game. But
he does say in his book, though, that because I've read Audacity of Hope, I got it for Christmas, and he said, on the topic of, homosexuality, I'm willing to say that when history comes down, I may have been standing on the wrong side of this fence, that he supports civil unions, but not marriage, and still believes marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yeah, and you know what else I think he says in his book is that he's willing to allow his faith to push him on this issue. Mm. And I think that's something that makes Barack Obama really unique, because among all the candidates, he's the one who both has a home church, Trinity in Chicago, and a denomination, the UCC, which is pushing him in the direction of being more LGBT inclusive, which makes him unique among the candidates, whereas the other ones are, you know, a part of traditions which, if anything, are perhaps holding him back, you know, that he's having to move away from his faith tradition, whereas the UCC would embrace him and encourage him to move towards a more welcoming posture. And I think, also, I think I read in the Chicago Tribune that, you know, a lot of the language around LGBT inclusion in the church has really been around the issue of inclusivity, but we've sort of shied away from using that moral language. And I think that's where, as gay people, we sort of get tired of the talk about, you know, is homosexuality immoral? I would have loved it if we had said, you know, homosexuality is not immoral, but homophobia is immoral.
Right.
When the question of are gay people sinful, if instead of just saying, no, gay people aren't sinful, instead we would say, you know, furthermore, the history of lies and betrayal against gay people, that's what's sinful.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, let's talk about sin and then go on, because we're always on the defensive when it comes to using moral language. And maybe this is going to be an opportunity where it's not just about talking about public policy, but they're going to have to start talking about us in ways that are using moral language. And Barack Obama has put himself out there as being the candidate who is not afraid to talk about his faith. So
yeah,
hopefully
absolutely.
He'll do that.
That's exactly what happened to Peter Pace, right? Wasn't
right.
that the thing we read last week, that was the point that the military then had to come back and say,
right.
it's he shouldn't have made it a moral
right.
issue.
He shouldn't have used morality as a crux or,
right, or a litmus to
yeah.
why or why not
exactly.
gay should serve in the military, you know? And so
right.
Barack Obama was being asked about that as he was walking away.
And I think in many ways, traditionally, morality is so blanketing. It's so widespread. I think when you question a question of morality and you talk on along those lines for whatever issue you're talking, it's really you're blatantly saying this is right, this is wrong. It's very positive, negative, black and white. And
yeah,
that's the dangerous era.
Right.
And I think that's why traditionally the politicians steer away from that, because they don't want to be so binary. They want to be catering to all.
There's centrists now. There are no liberals or conservatives. In the end of the race, they all become centrists in the middle.
So for you, Ben, I guess in your position now that you've moved to a larger area, that you're working with the UCC even tighter. I know we talked a little bit about politics and we talked a little bit about the sort of internalized homophobia in the community. Quickly, what are you seeing as the big hot button issues these days? Is it still urging people to come out, urging people to be themselves, urging people to be a part of the community, or are there other issues that are creeping up still?
Well, I think the marriage issue is going to be around for a while, and it's, you know, one of the last and best fights that we're gonna have, because it's really about, you know, moving the conversation in huge steps. But from a church perspective, I am really excited about all the controversy that we're in the middle of, because in many communities, believe it or not, this has been the issue that has really renewed many of our congregations.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our congregations that have taken a bold step towards welcoming gay and lesbian people have found this renewed sense of vitality, a new sense of purpose. They sort of have to become unified, because they start getting attacked from, you know, places outside of their church, so they sort of get along better. They have a sense of mission and purpose. And then in the course of doing that, they find that not only do gay and lesbian people start showing up, but people who are looking for, you know, a courageous church. They're looking for a church that stands for something. They're looking for a church that's unique and progressive. And so, you know, parents of gay and lesbian people start showing up, and siblings and friends of, and straight couples with kids that say, we want to have our kids raised in a church that isn't like Jerry Falwell's church. They start showing up. So I think from a church perspective, the issue is really, if I can use the scary church word of evangelism, you know, this is a really great opportunity for us. And I think, again, we've arrived early on this issue as the UCC. And so, you know, I have a lot of hope in that regard, that we're going to make a difference. As a gay person, I really feel like we've made tremendous strides, but I also think it's a responsibility that we have, that even though we might like certain candidates or not like other candidates, even those ones we like, we've got to hold their feet to the fire. We've got to make them accountable. They've got to appreciate the money that we're giving to them.
Yeah.
They've got to appreciate the support that we're giving them.
That was a big article in the Tribune, too, talking about, you know, the power of the gay vote and, you know, Hillary and Barack and where they both stand based on, you know, his comments. And I think that, you know, Judy Shepard, Matthew Shepard's mother, said the same thing here on our show back in November about, you know, we have to hold our political, you know, if we're going to call them allies or our representatives, if they're already in office, accountable for our issues.
You have to maintain the alliance.
Hey, Ben, tell everybody, how can we get information on the United Church of Christ? If people want to know whether they're, where there's possibly a church in their area, they want to see your ads, just find out more about the church. How can they do that?
Yeah. Well, we've got churches throughout Chicagoland, about 150. I looked up this afternoon just so I could be able to give you a number. We are located on a corner near you. And but you can find those churches if you go to ucc.org. We have a Find a Church button there, and you just can enter in your city. You can enter in your zip code, and it'll give you the churches nearest you.
Well, Ben, all of our
churches are just alike. They're all different. Find the one that fits you.
Well, Ben, we hope that you'll come back on our show as the topic of gays continues in the religious institutions. And we'll keep watching Barack and as a UCC member and how his faith continues to push him. So thank you. Reverend Ben Guess is the National News Director for the United Church of Christ. Check out UCC.org for more information. And Ben, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Sing her that song.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.